Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise God, everybody. This is Macedonian Call Around the Globe, coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. I am Sister Joanna Green with my husband, Evangelist Clint Green, and our daughter, 10-year-old Rachel. Praise the Lord. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I tell you, I'm excited tonight. We walked into a new door that we went tonight to this pizza place, and we got to actually sing about Jesus, praise God, and got to testify what the Lord has done for us. And if you're in the area of Franklin, Springboro, or Madison Township or Middletown area, and you want to have some great pizza, on Friday night she has a singing, Sister Rhonda Rudd, and that's Penny Royal Pizza Plus, and that's 3734 Penny Royal Road, Franklin, Ohio. And so if you want to have a great fellowship and with other Christians, and maybe throughout the week you want to go have breakfast there, she starts at 8, and so then in the evening she has great pizza. So that is Penny Royal Pizza Plus, 3734 Penny Royal Road, Franklin, Ohio. Praise God. If you want their phone number, it's 937-743-5525. So the broadcast tonight is on the cross, and we encourage the callers to call in, and you can do that and be a part of this broadcast at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And tonight the subject is on the cross. Praise the Lord. So we're going to have Rachel to come in, and she's going to obey the Lord, and she's going to read her scripture. Hallelujah.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Praise God. And I want to thank the Lord for her. That's our 10-year-old daughter, Rachel Green. And we're just thank the Lord that she is bold enough to come on here and read. She's been doing that for about a year now. And so we're out places, and it just comes to her, scriptures do, and I just thank God for that. So I thank the Lord also because our computer, for the last 2 weeks, last two broadcasts, the computer has acted up, so it looks like Blog Talk Radio has gotten it fixed, and we are just clicking right through. We've got mic's turned on here. 770, come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God, Brother John, and glad to have you on here tonight, you and Sister Samples. Is she able to sing a song there, or does she feel okay?
She's not with me tonight, but hopefully by next week she'll be able to be on there with me.
Okay. Okay, we thank the Lord that he has brought her through many things that she has went through just within the last month or so, and we just thank God for that. So if you want to be part of this broadcast, again, it's 347-989-8862, and if you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@AOL.com. Again, it's heisrisen38@AOL.com. Pastor John, you come on in and obey God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity tonight to speak the word of the Lord. Tonight we are coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 10. It says, So now I beseech you, brethren, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth. He said, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. The Apostle Paul had seen there at the church of Corinth, amen, that he had been reported, amen, that there was contentions, amen, among the believers there at Corinth, amen, and they all began to declare, because he had heard even with his own ear that one would say that he was a follower of Paul, and one would say of Apollos, who was an apostle of John the Baptist, amen, a follower, and one would say of Cephas, which was Peter, one would say I was Christ. He says in verse 13, he says, Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I have baptized in my own name. And I baptized also in the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul was sent to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. There is the wisdom of this world, the Bible says in James chapter 1, that there is the wisdom of the earth, amen. It's evil. The Bible says it's sensuous, amen, devilish. And so this was talking about the words, wisdom of words. Many times we've been talking about on the broadcast how people have moved away from the true word of God, amen, and how they have watered it down and how they've taken away and how they've added to and how they've made the way. And this is what the Apostle Paul was speaking, amen, that he didn't preach with the wisdom of man's words, but he preached the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Because when we speak with the wisdom of words of men, it makes the cross of Christ of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, those that are dying, foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Tonight, to believers all around the world, if you believe, are a believer tonight, and I hope if you're not a believer at the beginning of this broadcast, that you'll be a believer by the end of this broadcast, is the power of God. It is the very distinct power of God. You know, the Bible says, I believe it's in Galatians chapter 6. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6, I believe it is, and talks about in Galatians chapter 6, amen, and starting in verse 11, it says, You see how large a letter I have written to you with my own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, they had went back to being Judaizers. They had went out back to the outward appearances. There was a fair show because they wanted everyone to know that they were circumcised according to the law. And so this was how, amen, they were showing that in the flesh. But the Bible says, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. There was a glorying in the flesh, amen, that those, amen, that had been circumcised amen, that had come, amen, and been, they felt like they were justified in the law. But the Bible says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world was crucified unto me, and I unto the world. In other words, as they were crucified on the cross of Christ, they died, amen, unto each other. And we have died unto the Lord Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. For in Christ Jesus is becoming a new creature, amen. And on the cross of Calvary, amen, it was the power of salvation. It was the power of God to those that believe. And so as we know that this work of the cross, amen, it made a new creature. Amen. It made, amen, because the Bible says, whosoever come into the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are made new. And the Bible says in verse 16, as many as walk according to this rule, amen, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul bore the marks of being bound to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And tonight, amen, do you have the marks of the believers? Amen. Do you have bear about the mark, amen, of a believer? And I'm not talking about the physical marks. I'm not talking about there, but there's a mark, just like Sister Green was speaking about, where they were able to go into this place of business, amen, and openly lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and able to have fellowship, amen, in this business. And this is the way it is. It's preaching the gospel, amen. It's fellowshipping and lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that the Son of Man must be lifted up, amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And this is the work on the cross, amen. And the Bible says, amen, and we need to know that in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 tonight, I believe it's a verse, starting in verse 16 or 15, excuse me. We who are Jews by nature, not sinners to the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We're not justified tonight by the law of God. Jesus Christ, when he hung on the cross, amen, was a fulfillment of the law. When he came forth, born of a woman, amen, that was a fulfillment of the law of Jesus Christ, amen. He didn't do away with the law, amen, the law of God, that is, not the law of man. But we're not justified by keeping the law, but our justification tonight is by our faith in Jesus Christ in looking under the cross. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What was destroyed on the cross? You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, I believe it is, that he nailed principalities and powers, amen, amen, that were nailed to the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ and his flesh, amen, was destroyed there on the cross of Calvary. Again, going back there, we find out that the Apostle Paul wrote, amen, to those that perish, those that are dying, those that are already dead in trespasses and sins, the cross was foolish. They used the words of wisdom. They spoke things like, if thou be the Son of Man, or the Son of God, come down off the cross, because to them it was foolish for he who was the Son of God to be hanging on the cross, to be cursed. Amen, and hallelujah, they come. And so they were adamant about him coming down off the cross. They were adamant because this was foolish for the Son of God to hang on the cross, to hang in the place that was, amen, that was cursed. And he said, if I build again, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. The law was sufficient. The ceremonial law was abolished on the cross of Calvary. The fulfillment of it was when the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And he said to the believers there in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ.
I'll be on there pretty soon.
He said over there, amen, tonight we need to know that when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, all believers are crucified with Christ. As he said over there in Galatians chapter 6, he said, I am crucified unto Christ, and Christ is crucified unto me. And we're all dying together, were crucified, amen, on the cross of Calvary that Christ bore, amen. And he said, yet not I, but Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. The Apostle Paul was alive, but he was alive because Christ, the anointed one, amen, lived within him. Tonight, believers are crucified with Christ, yet all believers live. Yet we don't live, but it's Christ that lives within us. Amen. And the Bible says, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Tonight we're living by faith. The Bible says, now the just shall live by faith. And so your justification is your faith, your belief, your persuasion in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And gave himself for me. Our faith is in that which was given to us. And he gave himself to us on the cross at Calvary. That's the power of God. That's what it says, amen. And the Bible says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ was dead in vain. Tonight we need to know that our righteousness doesn't come, amen, by the law, but it comes by our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible declares in Romans chapter 6, amen, Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, in verse 2, or let's go to verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How did we become dead to sin? Because we were crucified with Christ. On that day, amen, it talks about, amen, in the scriptures, it talks about it in Luke, I believe it's Luke 23, talks about that he was, among the two thieves, amen, and I'll get to that in just a little minute. Let's go ahead. Let's continue here in Romans chapter 6. And it said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Baptism is a representation of burial. Representation of burial, that if we are buried with Christ, we shall also be raised with Christ. The Bible says if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. We need to know today, amen, that the scriptures teach us, amen, hallelujah, that as we are crucified with Christ, again, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, amen, that all believers are crucified with Christ, but all believers are dead, amen, but the life that they now live in the flesh is not them that lives in the flesh, but it's Christ, amen, the anointed Messiah living down on the inside, the resurrected Messiah that rose up, amen. Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection. Amen. And the resurrection lives within every believer tonight. Amen. It's raising up. We don't have to wait, amen, for the stones to be removed because the stones, amen, has already been rolled away. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 5 that there would be a day that even the dead in the grave would hear his voice. Tonight we need to know that in John chapter 10, that he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He said, I am known of mine, and they know me. Tonight we hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even as we are in places of death, even in places when we were dead in trespasses and sin, that the Lord Jesus Christ called us by name, amen, and that we were crucified with him, amen, as he bore the cross to Calvary to the Golgotha, the place of the skull. Amen. We know that, amen, the Bible teaches us in Galatians that every man must bear everyone his own burdens. But, amen, the Bible says we also must bear one another's burdens. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ bared the burden of sin. He was the sin bearer, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53. Amen. And he wore our sins. By his stripes we were healed, according to the book of the Apostle Peter. By the prophet Isaiah, it says, by his stripes we are healed. He brought salvation, he brought healing and wholeness and completeness. This was a finished work, amen. This was salvation, amen, hallelujah. And the Bible says here in verse 4 of Romans chapter 6, therefore we are buried with him by baptism in the death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in the newness of life. Tonight we are declared, amen, as believers that we need to walk in the newness of life, that all things become new, amen, and this is not a one-time experience. Many believers, amen, get disheartened and get discouraged, but we need to know that every day, the Bible says, I believe it's in Luke, it says to take up thy cross daily. deny thyself. This is not a word, a one-time word. This is a lifetime word. This is an everyday word. As Sister Joanne said, this is the day that the whole Lord has made. Let us be rejoice and be glad in it. We need to know today that every day is the day that the Lord has made, and every day is the day that we are to take up the cross. You know, many times, many people try to get him down off the cross. Many times, the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, over and over again, these are words of wisdom, just like it says in 1 Corinthians, talks about the words of wisdom, made the cross of none effect. Every time he said, well, if I'll be the Son of God, come down off the cross. But tonight we need to know that the key is not for Jesus Christ to come down off the cross to make it of none effect. But, the key is to every believer is to take up the cross. The key to every believer tonight, is to take up the cross. Why do you take up the cross? It wasn't for him to come down off the cross, but it was to take up. It's to remove that place of death. It's to remove that instrument of death in our lives. The Bible says, they've done this to Jesus, and he said, if they'll do this to a green tree, what will they do? In fact, this Jesus Christ was a green tree bringing forth fruit, and not only fruit, but much fruit. He was very much alive. He was very much well. The Bible declares, that you lay the ash in a tree that doesn't bring forth fruit. But the Lord Jesus Christ was a fruitful bough. The Lord Jesus Christ was a true vine. The Lord Jesus Christ was bringing forth much fruit. The Bible tells us and declares unto us in John chapter 15, herein is the Father glorified, that we bear much fruit. Christ was bearing much fruit. But we need to know tonight that the newness of life is an everyday, ongoing, everyday life of the believer. It's not just something. It's not just an ultra experience. It's not just a one day. It's not just an infilling of the Holy Ghost. But it is newness of life every day through walking in the newness of life of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that our man perish, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 4:16, but the inward man is renewed day by day. This is a day-by-day works, amen. And we take up the cross. We remove that instrument of death, where we were crucified on. Oh, we have to hang our flesh on the cross. But you need to know tonight, is that cross. It's a newness of life, that the principalities, the powers, our sin, our flesh was crucified, on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And the Bible says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. The Bible says in the beginning, that man was made in the likeness. He said, let us make man in our image, in our shalom, our shadow. And man was made in the likeness, And as man was made in the likeness, the first Adam, the second Adam, which was the Lord Jesus Christ, a quickening spirit, that made the body, that was dead in trespasses and sin, alive again, resurrecting power. And he has called us forth, and he's called us forth by name, each and every one of us, to come out of that places of death. There are many underneath some of us right now. You've been in places of death. You're like Lazarus. You're in places of the tomb. It's cold and it's dark. You've been bound by your sin. You've been bound by your grave clothes. But right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as you've been crucified, if you lay down your life, if you subject your members right now unto the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you look to the cross at Calvary, and realize, hallelujah, if you'll receive him tonight, you can be with him in paradise. The Bible says in Revelation 2 and 7, to them that overcome will I give to eat, grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. There was two thieves, one on the left and one on the right. They were malefactors, and as he hung with them, one had said, if you are the Son of God, get us down off this cross. That was words of wisdom. This man was getting ready to perish. He was a thief, but his greatest thing that he had stolen was he had taken his own life, not in death, but he had taken his own life because his life was not his own. The Bible says you are not your own. You're bought with a price. He'd been bought a long time ago, but he never subjected himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when on the day of his death, he would not subject himself. But there was one. There was a thief, who had received him. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, hallelujah, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37 says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. That cross is the instrument of death, but we have to take it up. We have to remove it, and we have to hang our flesh. We have to hang our life on that cross and it's crucified. But the life that we're now living, amen, the old man is on the cross, but the new man comes down and takes up the cross. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The Bible says, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Whosoever receiveth the Lord, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving the Father. And on that day, amen, we find, amen, that the thief, amen, hallelujah. I believe it's in Luke chapter 23. We'll go there in a minute, but let's go on back to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Once your body is hung on a cross, once you've submitted your life and your body unto the Lord Jesus Christ, you're crucified with him. As you have submitted with him, amen, that body of sin is destroyed. And so that body of sin doesn't live there anymore. Sin is destroyed because the house of sin has been destroyed. It is written, the Bible says, my house shall be a house of prayer. Tonight we need to know that each and every one of you that has created the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the house of God. He has built the house. Great is the glory, but there's a greater glory of he that built the house. He that built all things is Christ. And tonight, he has built, he's created you. Amen. And he's raised you up. Will you receive him tonight? Will you receive that cross? Will you go the way of the cross? Because it is the power of God in the salvation. Amen. For he that is dead is freed from sin. When you've given your life, the Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service, and you be not transformed, but amen, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. When you hang on the cross, amen, he that receives Christ, receiveth him that sent me. This thief, amen, knew and come to realize that this man that was hanging in the middle, the man in the middle, was innocent blood. The man in the middle, he didn't even spoke to the other thief. He said, this man, we are here. He knew why he was there. He knew why he was on the cross. He had taken something that didn't belong to him, but he was ready to give, amen, that something that belonged to the man in the middle. Tonight, are you ready to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down his life for a friend. Are you ready to give your life? Amen. Because if you find it tonight, you'll lose it. But if you lose it tonight, if you lose it on the cross of Christ, amen, you'll find it. And not only will you find life, but eternal life. Amen. The thief, at the end of his life, at this life, the temporary life, amen, he found eternal life. He found eternal life hanging right next to him. Oh, church, it would be a sad thing tonight, amen, to be so close to the door of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10 said, I am the door to the sheepfold. You can go in and out and find pasture. To be that close to the pasture, to be that close to the vineyard of God, to be that close to the things of God, and not enter in. Those seeds represented, amen, the doorpost, amen, the lintels, amen, on the side of the doorpost where the blood was applied, amen, the door of heaven would be open, amen, amen, and the Lamb of God, amen, it was just like there in Exodus, amen, when the blood of the Lamb, amen, one lamb for every household. But tonight, amen, there's one lamb that hung on the cross of Christ, amen, and that was for every household that was ever made. Caiaphas prophesied that there was one that would die for all, amen, and this quickening spirit died for us all on that day. Not only died for us, but made provision for our healing, made provision for our homes, made provision for this broadcast tonight, that this gospel, amen, amen, that this the preaching of the cross, amen, could go out, not preaching in wisdom of men's words, amen, not sensual devilish, but the wisdom of God, amen, by the power of God. And the Bible says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. He said, I am he which was, which is, and which is to come. He that is dead and alive forevermore. Oh, he's alive forevermore. And tonight, in the believer, if you believe in him, if you trust in him, if you have faith, well, that's the cross. That's death, yes. And tonight, as you take up the cross, it's not coming down off the cross. Will you be crucified? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, my wife sings a song. I wish you could sing it tonight, but she says it's called The Looking Glass. And amen. And we look around. We want to know who crucified him. But the people said, what will you have me to do with this one called Jesus? And they said, crucify him. He was crucified, but tonight, have you been crucified with him? Did you stand in line? Have you carried the cross? Have you been compelled? Amen. That was a one-time event for Simon of Cyrene. He was calmly compelled to carry the cross of Christ all the way. Oh, church, it's time for us to pick up the cross of Christ and carry it on. It's time for us, but you need to know tonight that the cross of Christ is not heavy. The cross of Christ is not something you cannot carry. For the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Tonight, amen, humbleness, humility becomes before honor. Humbleness becomes before an exaltation. And as we humble ourselves in the sight of God, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. We need to know tonight and forgive their sin and heal their land. Tonight, amen, church, as we come, we need to take up that cross. Have you hung on the cross with Christ? Have you, the cross of Christ become the power of God and salvation to you tonight? Is it to those that perish, to those that die, it means nothing. But to those that are crucified with him, it is the power of God. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. To the believers, you're alive unto God. To the believers tonight, you've got to be born into this kingdom. You can't sing this kingdom. You can't even understand the kingdom. The Bible says when Nicodemus come to him at night in John chapter 3, he said, you cannot even see this kingdom unless you're born into it. This is the kingdom that you're born with, born into, but it's a kingdom that also lives inside of you. For the Bible says the kingdom of God is not, amen, come to that observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. For sin shall not have a dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. When you stand at the foot of the cross, you're under the grace of God. That grace of God hung on the cross. For the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, for you are saved by grace, through faith. Faith in that grace. Amen. This is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. What is the gift of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the grace of God. For the Bible says in John chapter 1, and we beheld his grace. Amen. And we beheld, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. And the Word was made flesh in John chapter 1. Amen. And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, the Bible says, and I've been talking about Luke chapter 23, I believe it is. I'm going to turn it over there, and then I'm going to turn it back to Brother and Sister Green. But Luke chapter 23, I believe it is. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 23. And let me get over here, because I've been, I think it's Luke chapter 20, yeah, Luke chapter 23, verse 29. And one of the malefactors which was hanging railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Words of wisdom. To them that perish, this man was dying, but not he. And he had the grace of God right beside him. He had the door of heaven right beside him. He had every opportunity. Church, you've had every opportunity. The door is open tonight to see his salvation. But you must come by the way of the cross. There's no other way. There's no other way. It's too much. No, it's not, because he took the pain. He took the sting of sin. He took the death. The last enemy that he should put under his feet, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, is death. He took it all. He took the pain. He took the suffering. We have a high priest that's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But the other answering him rebuked him, saying, not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Oh, tonight, guess what? In the same judgment? Aren't you in the same judgment? Amen. This man had taken something. He was a thief. Oh, what have we made the house of God? When Jesus came, amen, into the temple, riding on the foal of the donkey, amen, and come. He came in there and he said, it's written that my house shall be a house of prayer. On Palm Sunday, they stretched out their garments and come in and said, cried out into Hosanna, David in the highest, amen, and hallelujah. They come before him, but when he got to the temple, the only thing was there was the money changers, the exchangers, amen, they were exchanging money. They were the sellers of doves, the seller of cattle, the seller of things. They had made his house a house of merchandise. They had made his house a den of thieves. He said, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Tonight, right there, each one of you individually is the house of God. What have you made it tonight? But tonight, for it to be a house of prayer, it must be crucified, hung on the cross, raised up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and sit on the right hand of the Father. And amen, descend into glory, because at his right hand are pleasures evermore. He said the same condemnation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no judgment because Christ has already been judged. And amen. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, no one can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. There was a recommendation. He knew that this one called Jesus was Lord and Master. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. What does that tell you? That day, amen. He wouldn't come down off the cross, but from that day forward, he would take up the cross and follow Christ. That's our thing. Tonight, as we hung on the cross, it's not for us to come down, but it's for us to take up. Lift up that instrument of death, because the power of Christ, the cross of Christ, is the power of God. Do you have it tonight? Are you crucified with him? Are you living? Is he living on the inside of you? The choice is yours tonight, but you must come the way of the cross. There's no other way. Go ahead, Brother Sister Green.
Praise the Lord, Brother John. If Brother John's talking to you, you need to find yourself a place to pray. And we say this every week, and it's very important that you do find a place and pray. And that's what Jesus did on the cross for us, that we could be saved. And you know, we was on his mind when he went to that cross, and he laid down his life, praise the Lord. And if what Brother John was telling you, you need to find your place and just ask God to forgive you of your sins and to be the Lord of your life and trust him. Praise God. The backslider would have prayed one more time. They would have never backslid. I believe that. Hallelujah. If you want to be part of this broadcast, 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And we want to have 661 come in and tell us who you are.
Hey, Sister Green, this is Sister Gladys in Moorhead, Kentucky.
Praise God. We're going to get this here song in, sis, and then we're going to have you come in and obey the Lord.
Okay, go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Who am I that you would reach out? Me, so worthy and unclean.
Praise God. Hallelujah. He done just that for us. He loved us that so much, praise the Lord, that he made a way for a man to and woman to reconcile back to God after what happened in the garden. And I don't want to say too much because I don't want to get on anybody's message here, but we're going to have Sister Gladys to come and obey God. If you want to be part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And our subject tonight is the cross. Praise God. Go ahead, sis.
Praise God for being on here tonight, Sister Green. Thank you for inviting me. I thank God for you and Sister Brother Clint, and I thank God for Brother John. I praise God for all the people on this broadcast. I thank him for reaching, you know, that he's reaching many souls on this broadcast. I thank him that there's a new way to reach the people. You know, we may never step foot on the grounds of Uganda or Korea or even Israel, but I thank God in my spirit tonight that we can lift up the word of God and that we can know that he truly hung on that cross for us. And God, in John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I praise God that one day the Lord knew in his heart that that was his mission, that he was to come here. He was supposed to step out of heaven. He would be part of God. He is God. He's the part of the Trinity. And people may dispute that, but I know he is. And then he had to take on the human nature also to die on an old rugged cross for my soul and my sins. You know, I was asked an important question. I'm not going to just stick with my notes, but I'm going to go by what the Spirit leads me to say. But I was asked by my daughter-in-law this afternoon. She said someone at church on Easter Sunday said that God had to turn his back, and I had to explain to her. I said, "Honey, it may not make sense that God couldn't look at the sins of the people and the magnitude of sins that Jesus hung on the cross with, all the sins and all the grief and all the sorrows that he carried that day. The human capabilities would not have been able to handle it, but with the spirit within him, he was able to hang on that cross for our sins and all of our griefs and all of our iniquities and all the pain and suffering and all the illnesses and the things that we go through, our healings. It's not meant for any of us to be sick. But if we are sick, that Jesus has already paid the price. He said, by his stripes we are healed. And I thank him and magnify his name today for that. And I said, I know it may not make sense, but God couldn't look on sin. So he had to turn away for just a split second. But I told her, I said, now, because he paid that precious price and became the sacrifice for our soul, then God never has to leave us nor forsake us. He never again has to turn away because he can take our sin. You know, Jesus already paid the price for each and every sin that we ever fall into. And I thank him that I pray that we never sin. But when we do, the Word of God says we have an advocate with the Father. We can go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already made the price on Calvary. But today, if we fall short, and sometimes I feel like I'm the smallest and the least of anyone to speak the words of the Lord. But I want to do the best that I can and push aside for flesh and self and just know that if I can be used of God to reach one soul out there, then that's what I want to do. I want to let people know you don't have to hurt anymore. You don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to be a drug addict or a prostitute. You don't have to lay in the back alley. You don't have to be homeless. All you have to do is ask the Lord to come into your heart. And I magnify his name. You know, Sister Green, I don't think anyone will ever understand the pain and suffering that he went through. In Matthew 27:31-34, it says, "After they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him drink, vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." You know, the cross was so heavy, he could not carry it at one point. That didn't mean that he didn't want to. You know, the flesh will give out sometimes. But even his spirit man got to the point where he needed a little help. And I believe it was meant for that man to be right where he was. And sometimes we're meant to be right where we are at the time in our life so God can use us. And that's what he had. He made a way for Simon to carry the cross to where it needs to be. You know, people will never understand how they plucked out his beard. I've never seen, you know, I don't know. I'm a woman. I don't know what it's like to have your beard plucked, but I've heard by my husband it doesn't feel good. They spit on him. They gambled for his clothes. They pierced his head with thorns, the very thorns that we should have had pierced on our head. He's the one that took the beatings. And according to 2 Corinthians 11:24, they whipped him 39 times. And I praise God for every stripe, every beating that he took for me. You know, he paid a debt he didn't owe. And he owed a debt that I couldn't pay. And I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I need to word that right. But the soldiers, the Roman soldiers took joy and pride. And they showed no mercy if you were a Christian. And they didn't surely show any mercy to the Lord. In Mark 15:24-35, there's a lot of scriptures. But I feel like anyone that doesn't know about the price he paid and the time that he spent on that cross needs to understand a lot of those scriptures. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, all thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, they continued to mock him. Save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Jesus could have saved himself. He could have called upon thousands of angels to take him off that cross. But he knew he had a mission he had to fulfill. In verse 32 it says, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. They still were continuing to mock him. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, may not be able to say that right, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I say in that day and hour, Sister Joanne, I say the clouds were so dark you could not see. I say the thunder roared, and I say that the land itself shook, because they knew what Jesus was and who he was and what they were doing. And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he called Elias. And in Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He wants us to embrace the will of God, no matter how painful it is, no matter how often we have to. If it's continually, hourly, we're supposed to follow the holiness to show his glory. And he said in Mark 16:15, he gave us a commandment. He wanted us to follow his direction. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In Luke 4:19, he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, Jesus wants us to spread the gospel far and wide. He wants us to reach every nation, every kingdom, every tongue, everyone. It doesn't matter what color of your skin is. It doesn't matter what nationality he is. He wants us to reach everybody. And by this broadcast, I believe we're reaching more souls than we ever could behind the pulpit. And I praise God for that. I thank God for what his mission, that Jesus had went to do for me. I thank him for hanging on that cross for me, Sister Joanne. He paid a price I could not pay. He shed his blood so I could be healed. And I thank him tonight. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Joanne.
Praise God. And you, that was wonderful words, Sister Gladys and Pastor John brought forth. And that's what this is about. Right now, tonight, when the Lord called us into the ministry, he wanted us to preach the gospel. He wanted us to preach the cross. He wanted us to preach Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, praise the Lord. And on that third day, he arose. And that's what this is. And, you know, I was thinking how the tabernacle, praise God, he had in the wilderness. And it laid it all, he had it all in there in Exodus. I believe it starts around chapter 25, how he wanted them to make a tabernacle, praise the Lord. And he told them all how to do it with the badger skin and all the fine linen and the curtains and if you look at that, if you study Exodus chapter 25, 26, 27, you will see the cross. You will see Jesus in that tabernacle, praise God. You know, and behind the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat. And that Jesus is the mercy seat, praise God. We go to him, and we have to enter in first through the door. And they had to come in through the door at the tabernacle. And I've said this before, and it just excites me how we can see in the Old Testament and bring it into the New Testament how was the coming of Christ. They were looking for the Messiah, and he has come, praise God. He has come, he has done. In Isaiah, they prophesied that he would come and be bruised for our iniquities and chastised, and he would take our bore our shame, and he did all this, that, as Sister Gladys told you. He took the stripes on his back for our healing, and he is the bread of life, praise the Lord. He is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And he laid down his life for you and I. Praise God. And that's what this is all about. This is a wonderful broadcast tonight because right here, it's right here, praise the Lord. In him, in Jesus, is our healing, our salvation. He said, which is easier, to save the sinner, forgive of sins, or to heal the sick? And, you know, he's the only one that can do both. Praise God. And he said that the works that I do, ye shall do also, even greater works shall ye do. So because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, we are able to do the works that Jesus had done. We can heal the blind, and we can cause the lame to walk again. We can preach the gospel, then they can get saved by the anointing which destroys the yoke. Praise God. But to God be all the glory. It's through him that he uses us as his willing vessels, vessels of honor, praise the Lord. It's nothing that we do in ourselves and glorify nothing in ourselves, but it's Jesus, praise God.
Yeah.
I see we have another caller here, and I'm going to get them to come in and tell us who they are, and that's 423. Tell us who you are and where you're located.
Now, this is Landers Lloyd and Betty Yearwood down here in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise God, Brother Yearwood, and I'm glad to that you called in here tonight, and we're going to get this here song going, and then we're going to have you come in and obey the Lord. If you want to be part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. Hallelujah, and we've got several prayer requests that keep coming in through Facebook, and we'll turn those in here too. Momentarily, but we want Brother John and Sister Gladys, if you have prayer requests, get those ready here after the song, and then we'll have Brother Yearwood to come in and obey the Lord and turn in his prayer requests. Praise God.
Twas a lie filled with aimless desperation, without hope, walked the shell of a man. in a hand with nail prints stretched downward. Just one touch and a new life began. The cross, the difference for the cross, for the deep.
Praise God. So we're speaking on the cross tonight, and if you want to be a part of the broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. And we've got several prayer requests here tonight. Jerry Bowen says wants to pray for the people that were hit by tornadoes and their families. Pray for them. Tim Hall says, pray for us, please. Tanya Green says, lost loved ones. Donna Millen says, yes, please pray for her father is really sick and her daughter is due to have her baby anytime. Danielle Conley says, can you pray for Marcia? She is still having fits with her stomach. So I know she's been in the hospital. And also her son, Justin, he had surgery. Please pray for him. Bonnie Burke has a praise report. Her praise report is, we've been praying for her husband, Don, and we've turned it in many a broadcast that he had cancer in his lungs. And the praise report is that Don's test came back good on his lungs. Cancer is like scar tissue. Doctor said as long as Don felt good, they would just let it go till 3 or more months. God is so good. And I'm thankful for prayer warriors like you all. We'll continue to pray for you. And also, Dolores Garcia says, remember her mother-in-law in our prayers. Praise God. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Yearwood, and he's going to come in and obey God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Sister Green. Sorry about calling in so late, but we just wore out and tired. We just couldn't do it no sooner. I'll let Betty turn in our prayer request.
We heard from Brother Tony Garcia, and his mother, Martha, finally woke up this morning. After many, many days, she finally woke up, and she's still on life support, but she's breathing some on her own. And they started her on dialysis this morning, so continue to pray for her. David Crittenden has cancer and will be going in to have surgery on Tuesday to remove the cancer from his lungs. Sherry Choplin is still in the hospital, and she had 3 more surgeries on Wednesday, and she needs your prayers. And our kids need to be saved. And remember a lady at the church that has a daughter that has stage 4 cancer. Her name is Patricia.
Praise the Lord. So that's the prayer request that we have here tonight. So we're going to, I don't know how much I heard Sister Gladys there bringing in some of the scriptures that we've got. So I hope and pray that we don't get every one that somebody else has done got. But we're going to try to start out in Matthew 10 and verse 37 and through 39. Praise the Lord. And he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know, I'm just thinking there on these scriptures there, you know, people today don't seem like they just live in any old way they want to live and just saying that they are a child of God. You know, we were
Amen.
We said we were in a store there tonight, and not calling no names, but they claim to be Christians, and we can't say that they're not, but they do confess that they are. But they brought up a subject, and Betty told them, said she believed that anybody that was really a true Christian, they wasn't going to be drinking and smoking and chewing and dipping and all of that. And I knew the family, and she didn't know them. But she told them what we personally feel like that you're supposed to be like, and to be a Christian, and all of them use tobacco, and they kind of, I guess, got a little bit offended, but that's all right. But, you know, praise God, we've got to love our father and our mother, but we don't have the love for them like we do for the Lord. We've got to love Jesus Christ. We got to give our life for him if we ever want to find life. You know, praise God, we can't just go on and do the things that we would do and not follow the Lord. You know, the Lord, he carried the cross a little ways there, but then we'll get into the scriptures there in a few minutes about war, that they found a man going out of the city there. They laid the cross on him. And, you know, I was thinking about that they laid the cross on him. You know, Jesus could have carried that cross, but he didn't have to, because if he'd have carried that cross for himself, we wouldn't have had to worry about carrying the cross. But he's telling us there that we're going to have to follow him. We're going to have to take up the cross daily and follow after him if we ever want to make heaven our home. And I tell you what, today, this is a time that we need to carry the cross. This is a time that we need to not just to pick up a wooden block. I don't believe that's what he's talking about. He's talking about carrying the cross, carrying the load to serve him. You know, praise God. He wants us to look like him. He wants us to talk like him. He wants us to walk in his footsteps. And if we're walking his footsteps, then we're going to be carrying the cross, the burdens that people will show off on you. We're going to have to carry them loads. We can't be offended of them. You know, the word says over there in one passage of scriptures, it said, blessed are they that are not offended in my word. I tell you what, today there's too many people they're getting offended at the word of God, and they're going to have to turn. They're going to have to turn back to the Lord and take up the cross and follow him if they ever want to make heaven their home. I want to let Betty do some reading here now. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Matthew 16, verse 20 through 24. Then charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Praise God. You know, there he said, deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. You know, we need to just really just deny everything that man would do and take up the word of God and put the word. We've got to live in this word. We've got to have this word in us. I believe over there in 14th chapter, I believe in or maybe the 15th chapter of St. John, he tells us, I praise God, that we've have got to serve him. And, you know, praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. got a telephone going off somewhere. Nothing's got me lost there. But, you know, praise God, we've got to take up the cross and follow him. You know, the Word, he said, let the Word abide in you, and you abide in the Word. Then you ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. And we've got to take up the Word and carry the cross. The Word of God will be the cross that we need to carry this day and time. It's a time that we need to look beyond every shadow of death, beyond every shadow of a thing, but just look to the Lord and let him be our God. Let him be our Savior, and let him be our healer. Let him be whatever that we need him to be. He can be our father. He can be our mother. He can be our brother. He can be our sister. But we first got to love him. We've got to follow him daily. Praise God, we've got to take up the cross if we ever want to make heaven our home. I want to carry the cross that the Lord has for me to carry. I want to be able to suffer the things that the Lord would have me to suffer. I'm not talking about in sickness. I'm talking about carrying the cross of God, walking up just like Jesus did. Praise God. He could have come off from that cross. He could have called for 10,000 angels to deliver him, but he didn't. He hung on that cross for you and I, for the love that he had for us. Praise God, I tell you, he carried his cross, my friend, and we've got to carry the cross like he did. We've got to follow him if we ever want to get to walk on the streets of gold. Praise God, hallelujah, go ahead.
Praise Matthew 27, starting with verse 31. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross.
Praise God. And right there. You know, praise God, they found this man by the name of Cyrene, and they, praise God, Simon, and they told him to carry the cross for Jesus. As I was saying there a while ago, Jesus could have carried that cross, but he took it, and he let a man carry it to show us that it could be carried. My friend, tonight, we need to carry the cross of the Lord as we walk forth through this land. Praise God, we've got to carry it if we ever want to get to heaven. We've got to walk the way the Lord would have us to walk, praise God, and talk the talk that he'd have us to talk. Hallelujah. Praise God.
And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him.
Praise God. You know, if they knew who he was there, because they wrote up over his head, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And then, you know, praise God, it goes on down through there. And it said, praise God, what was that last verse you read there? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyway, praise Lord. We've, you know, they knew that he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I tell you what, today, I praise God, Jesus is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People needs to realize that he could. As he told them there, he said, in 3 days, I'll raise this temple back up. And, you know, they was thinking that he was talking about a building over there, but he wasn't talking about a building. He was talking about a temple of his body, that they would crucify it, they would destroy it. And the devil, I just imagine the devil laughing and thinking that we've got him now. But in that third day, praise God, he come back forth. He come alive. He come out of that tomb. And praise God, he brought them that was held captive. He brought them with him. And they seen him in the streets of over there in Jerusalem. And I tell you what, praise God, he is the King of Kings. And he is the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. In the, verse 42 there, it said, and he sent others, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and I will believe him. You know, praise God, I don't believe if he'd have come down off from the cross, that was just a trick of Satan, telling him that we will believe him, trying to deceive him. I believe they're trying to get him to come down that they would win. But my friend, I'm going to tell you, he didn't come down off from that cross. He couldn't because he loved us so much that he had to die on that cross that we could have this life. He gave his life that we could have life. And through him is the life of all men. I'm so thankful tonight. Praise God that we have a Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess one day that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we will carry our cross and bear the cross that the Lord has told us to bear. And I tell you what, we've got to bear this cross of the Lord if we ever want to walk on the streets of gold. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to go into Mark of the 10th chapter and starting in verse 20.
And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.
Praise the Lord. You see, sell what you've got, and give it to the poor. You know, the Lord was trying to tell him there, that he had all kinds of riches and he just need, I believe, to divide a little bit of it there. I don't believe the Lord wanted him to give everything that he owned or anything like that, but the Lord was just trying to tell him that he had to carry a cross. My friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight. The riches will not get us into the kingdom of God. I'd rather be poor and make it in, and then have my riches laid up in heaven, have all my treasures laid up there, where the rust and the moth and the thieves cannot break through and steal. That's what God is trying. That's what Jesus was telling that a young ruler there. I said, all you got to do is go and be willing, in other words, to give out to whatever that you need to give out to. Then you can have life. Praise God. But, you know, I believe we read on down through a little bit further. We'll find that he just... sorrowful, turned around and walked away because he wasn't willing to give what he had for life. My friend, I'm going to tell you something. Tonight we need to be willing to give what we've got. I'd rather give that now and to have life than to keep it and to lose it. Praise God. It'd be terrible to lose your life tonight, my friend, over of the goods that we can lay up here on this earth, where the thief and the moth and the rust and all can destroy it. But I want to lay my treasures up in the heavens where they cannot bother it. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Mark 15, verse 24, starting with 24. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And this is superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the one on the left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we've heard the reading of God's word there, and you know, if you don't get a word that I've said, but if you get what God's word says, and if you'll just take it, my friend, and just multiply that to your life and get your life in the ways of the Lord and get the cross, pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Follow him, my friend, and you'll make it. But if you don't follow the Lord, you don't bear the cross, you'll not make it. And he's telling us here that we must carry the cross. I want to carry the cross that the Lord has laid out for me to carry. I want to bear the burden that the Lord has put on me to bear. I tell you what, it's a time that people need to realize that the time is growing closer and the signs are showing that the end is coming near. We need to look up to the Lord and follow after him and carry our cross that he's given us to carry. Praise God. I appreciate the time that you let us have tonight here on the radio. I'm sorry that I didn't get in here earlier, but praise God, we've been on the run all day, and so God knows all about it. So I'll turn it back to you now, Brother and Sister Green. Appreciate you.
Praise God. We appreciate you all, too, and thank God that you all were able to call in tonight. All the time belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we sure appreciate that anointed word of God. And everybody's done so good tonight. And I said that this is what it's all about, is the cross right here. Right here is what Peter and Paul and all them, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this is what they preached, was the cross. And this is what us today are supposed to be preaching, is the cross. And this is a great subject. If you want to be part of this, we've got about a half an hour left. 347-989-8862. 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, a prayer request, whatever you want to tell us in the email. HeIsRisen38@AOL.com. HeIsRisen38@AOL.com. It's all lowercase letters. So feel free to email us. Praise the Lord. And we've got some more prayer requests coming in, and we want to mention those. John and Grigsby wants us to continue to pray on a new house for him. I'm sure he's meaning a different house. He's still believing in God. Sister Lorna Millette says, keep them in prayer. Keep her in our prayer, she says. Ruth Adams says, keep praying for Billy. Still in prayer. He is home, but still is really sick. Now, he's the one that we turned in prayer requests that has the C. diff. So that is a very contagious thing. It's airborne. And a few weeks ago, he had stents put in his arteries. And right before that, he was in the hospital for colitis. So he's really gone through a rough time. So we're missing him at church. So keep them in prayer. So again, if we want you to call in and be a part of this. If you've not prayed and made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, we encourage you to do that. That is the only way that you're going to make it out of this world into eternal life with Jesus, is ask him now to forgive you of your sins. Because once you're already gone, how a tree falleth, so shall it lay. Once you're gone, once this body dies, and you've not made Jesus Christ your Savior in repentance of your sin, he told Nicodemus, Jesus did, that you must be born again. So we need to be born again, because if we wake up in eternity and have not asked Jesus to be our Savior in repentance of our sin, we're going to end up in hell, and that's forever, and there's no fire escapes there. So we want you to listen to this song, and I hope it blesses you. It's been a wonderful broadcast. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. Though he could walk away, he chose the cross. Praise the Lord. And at this time, we're going to turn it over to Brother Green, and he's going to obey the Lord. And we're going to have Brother John and Sister Gladys turn in her prayer, their prayer requests, and we're going to pray over these. Hallelujah.
Praise God. It's good to be with you, and I'm thanking God for this broadcast tonight. I tell you, if it had not been for that old rugged cross, then we would be lost tonight. If it hadn't been for Jesus, the Lamb of God that was slain on that cross, well, we would not have eternal life tonight. But thank God that he went all the way up the hill, that he paid the price, and he suffered in the flesh, and he brought salvation to you and I. And I want to read some scripture here tonight. This is, I think Brother John mentioned this tonight, and it's found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. It says here that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And that was the faith of Jesus Christ. That was the faith that we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how that we received the Spirit in this time which we're living in today. If Jesus had not went to that cross, those Old Testament saints could not have been saved, because the Bible tells us that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. So, you know, we get to looking at that, and we see that the Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood, and that he had given the blood upon the altar to make atonement for their sins. In the Old Testament, it was like a credit card. It was not the real thing, but it pointed to that which was in heaven. It pointed to Christ that was going to come down one day and die on that cross, and he was going to shed the blood, his own blood. And the Bible tells us that we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Praise God. We're not redeemed by silver and gold. We're not redeemed by all the good works that we can do. But Christ is our righteousness, and he has saved us unto good works. That doesn't mean that when we find Christ and we believe on Jesus that we can live any way we want to. It means that we should be living a changed life. That he, you know, Christ did no sin. There was no sin in him. And we're in him today because we're a part of his body. The Bible says we're baptized into Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it is, in the 13th verse. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And we're not all the hand, and we're not all the foot or the eye or the ear, but we're somebody in the body of Christ. And we know that the body of Christ is holy. The Bible tells us that this temple is a holy temple. Praise God. We're to live holy, our conversation is to be holy, and our actions are to be clean and pure. All uncleanness, he said, not to let it be named among us. And I think Brother Yearwood touched on some of that tonight. We believe that we're changed and we're a new creature, the Bible says, in Christ Jesus. And we're not living after the world anymore once we come to Christ. But Jesus died on that cross, and it says here in the 13th verse, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, the law could not save them. The law just showed them their sin. And, you know, we have laws today. We have policemen, we have police officers, and they carry a badge and they carry a gun. And if there was no law, then the bad people, the ones that's not saved, and the ones that's crooks and criminals, well, they would take over this world, and it would not be a safe place to live. But thank God that we have laws, praise God. And that's what the law was. It was to keep them in line. And it was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. It was to teach them good things. The Bible said the law was good. And if there had been a law where righteousness could have been brought in, it would be by that law that God gave Moses. But it could not bring eternal life. And it says here, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Jesus hung on that tree to take the curse that was upon this earth. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God pronounced the curse upon this land, upon this earth, Jesus went to that cross to cure that problem, praise God. He was made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. You see, Abraham had a promise that from him all the nations and all the families of the earth would be blessed through his seed. And that seed was our Lord Jesus Christ. It says here that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe that he died for our sins, we believe what the Bible says about him. Of course, you know, we learn more and more as we read the Bible. We must believe in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ and what it stands for, praise God. And it says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So if I believe in my heart that Christ died for my sins, and I believe that he died and that he rose again, and I repent of my sins and call on him for salvation, as I repent and I call on him to change my life. And the Bible says that he will send forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now I want to look also in Deuteronomy chapter 21. I want to turn over there real quick. And this is dealing with someone that dies on a cross or on a tree. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. And that's what Jesus did. He took the curse. All the curse that was upon mankind, and he was accursed. It says, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. So our inheritance that we had in the beginning was eternal life. And Adam, had life eternal. If he had never sinned, he would have lived forever. But when he committed sin, he broke that eternal life, and he separated himself from it, and sin entered in, and death by sin. So we see that the Old Testament tells us here how that person hanging on a tree here in the Old Testament, if he has committed a sin worthy of death, and you know we were all worthy of death, and the Bible tells us that there was none righteous, no, not one. And there had to be a remedy, and Jesus was that remedy. And it says, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. So, he died on that cross because he took that curse that was upon us and he nailed it to that tree. Praise God. They nailed him, literally nailed him in his hands and in his feet. I want to also turn back to Exodus. You know, there's a lot of people today that they don't believe in the cross. They don't believe that Christ came. They believe, you know, they want to go back and do animal sacrifices, and they want to try to be justified by the animal sacrifices and by the blood of animals. But that will never take away sin. And what we need to do is to believe on Jesus Christ. If you're in that category, if you're one of those groups in that group that believes that we ought to rebuild the temple, you know, and we ought to go get us a lamb, and we ought to do everything like they did it in the Old Testament and how they did it under the law, we're trodden underfoot. We're counting the blood of Jesus to none effect. That's what we're doing if we're in that category. But I thank God I'm not in that category, because I believe that Christ has come, and he is in the scriptures all the way through the Old Testament and the New. He said one place there in Hebrews, "Behold, I come in the volume of the book. So it is written of me," he said there, "to do thy will, O God." So I tell you, he did the will of God. He fulfilled the law. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh and fulfilled the law, and he condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, he took that sin in his own body on the tree and was nailed to that cross. And they nailed him in his hands, and they nailed him in his feet. And they put that crown of thorn, as some of them had said tonight, upon his head. And you know, he took that crown of thorns because in the garden, after the curse came, excuse me, he pronounced on them, he said that the earth was going to bring forth briars and thistles and things like that. And Jesus, when he took that crown of thorns on his head, it represented the time it pointed back to the garden. How that he took away the curse, praise God. I want you to know, when they came out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 12, in chapter 12 and verse 3, and it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts." You know, that's the way of the cross, if you look at that. It said, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." So you see, there's the cross in the Old Testament. And they laid him on that cross, and they nailed him in his hands and in his feet. And they had already put the thorns upon his head. So we see blood. And I'm sure when they put the blood over the door and on the two side posts, I'm sure that the blood probably dripped down upon the bottom of the door. And so we see the cross just like it was when Jesus was crucified. Praise God. "They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." And then I want you to look down at, verse 11 through 13. And this is Exodus chapter 12. "And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. Praise God. He said, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Praise God. So we see here that if he sees the blood, he will pass over you. And you know, this is good today, and it's going to be good through eternity. If we have the blood of Jesus applied to our life, and we believe in that old rugged cross and the man called Christ, the Lamb of God, that was sent to take away the sins of the world, we can have that eternal life. But if we reject Christ and we don't believe in the cross, and we go right on by the cross, we don't humble ourselves and pray and seek the Lord, I'll tell you, we'll be lost someday. But I don't want to be lost. I want to have the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I don't want to hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. Praise God. I want to look at a little bit more scripture here in the book of Exodus. I want to look at the 21st verse through the 23rd. It says here, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. So we see that he said that they had to remain in the house. And I'll tell you what, once you get in, once you give your life to Jesus, you need to remain in the Lord. You need to stay in the Lord's house. You know, we're in the Lord's house when we're in the big family of God, when we're born of the Spirit of God, and he has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We have called upon him in sincerity and called upon him in truth, and we've laid aside the world and the things in the world, and we're striving to seek to please the Lord and not to please ourselves. Then we need to take a firm hold, the Bible said, upon eternal life. That eternal life is Jesus Christ. It's in him. Outside of Christ, there's no life. And we must continue to abide in him. He said, if you'd abide in me, and my words abide in you, shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God. We are preaching the cross tonight. We've been preaching it. Each one that's come on have preached the cross. And, you know, we must be crucified with Christ. We must lay our life down, and we must take up the life of Christ and take up the cross of Calvary. And we must walk after the things of God, that we might be a light to this lost and dying world. Can the world, can they see Jesus in the life that you're living? Is your light shining? Do you have the lights a-burning today? Praise God. Is Christ in your conversation? You know, we need to have Christ in our conversation. The world's looking for excuses why they don't have to come and believe on the Lord. But I tell you, it's time, it's high time, the Bible said, to wake out of sleep. It's time to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, but to come to Jesus with all your heart. I'm going to turn it back over here to Sister Joanna.
Praise God, doing good there and good word. Brother John, do you have any prayer requests? Sister Gladys, do you have any prayer requests, sis?
Yes, I do. I have Sister Vanessa, her father did pass away. Sister Tina's father-in-law They're not sure what's going on with him. Pastor Jason Mays in Moorhead, his grandmother just passed away. My daughter-in-law has chest pain. She's got a pacemaker. So be praying for her chest, her back, and her right leg, and some personal private requests that I'd like for God to move on within our home.
Amen. Brother John, you have any prayer requests? Remember Kim Hargra of Kim Adams. She says, remember Larry and Wilma Davis. They're in great need of prayer. Also, Sharon Jones needs prayer. And Danielle Rogers says that her brother Brad needs prayer. So let's remember that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you move upon these requests, dear God. Lord, unspoken and spoken, Lord, you see the need of prayer.
Father, Lord, every request, Lord,
we need salvation, dear God. We have the cross tonight, Lord. We tried to bring it out the best we could, Lord, that by your anointing and that other people would... Lord,
and cause them that take an effective
surrender
God,
to you,
Lord, that you would touch them,
must be born again,
but heal them, God,
and
to raise them up. Lord, it don't matter which hospital or where they're at, God, but raise them up, Lord.
Lord,
we give
you
the praise,
Lord,
and honor for it all. In the name of Jesus.
Then would these, dear God, touch them, Lord, heal their bodies,
Lord,
first of all, save their souls if they're not saved. Thank you, God, for this broadcast, Lord.
Lord,
in the name of Jesus,
our Father,
in the name of Jesus.
Lord, we pray that you'd strengthen people tonight, heal sick bodies tonight, Lord, and save lost souls. God, send your minister, Lord, God, bring deliverance to those that's oppressed tonight, Jesus. Have your way, Lord.
Amen.
Jesus.
Praise God. And enjoy the rest of this here song, and we'll see you next Friday. Praise God, same time.
Amen.
Praise God. We'll see y'all next week. Hallelujah.
All right. God bless.
God bless.